to get those people here, and it's for a newspaper ad, it's for a radio ad, a TV ad, it's billboard, I don't care what it is, but it's for something to attract. And so the souvenirs don't apply.
She's already been granted money out of this.
And those kind of things. So that's a clarification we made on the previous grant, and we're just going to continue that going forward. I think it's much cleaner.
Yeah, sure. That's from this year.
The other question I was going to ask you is that because this event is coming up soon, how much advertising have you actually already spent?
Well, we were very conservative. The confusion came in on this one. I had applied early in the year. I can't remember, around January, maybe, Nicole. And then Nicole had sent it back to me saying that because we were funded last year, we actually were funded in this fiscal year in July when the race occurred, that we weren't eligible for funds in this fiscal year, so that our application had to wait until June. So that's why it's coming to you so close to the race. We were really careful with not spending too much marketing up front because we didn't know how many dollars we had. So I don't have that number off the top of my head, but I would say it's fairly low at this point. We've done a ton of free marketing. We have Oregon Live trades out with us. So they've done advertising for us. We've done a lot of online, all the race networks, all the race calendars. And like I said, we've already are up to almost 400 runners at this point. So we're doing pretty good. So this money would be like a last push and then would also promote going forward. So our marketing stays live, continuous. So even beyond the event, we'll be posting all of the results and putting ads and news out going forward for 2013. So it kind of crosses over. So it's challenging because we are so close to the end.
So I got a question for Jim. You cautioned us about where you wanted us to spend in June. Did the DNC grant money, is that containing your same caution? I know we could technically put this in the fiscal year of 2012-13, but is this sacrosanct too? It's on the back of that.
I wasn't considering that, so yeah, this would be available to use this fiscal year.
Okay. But it would have to go before council, and the next council meeting is Monday. And
yes.
So would they be able to get that on the council agenda for this Monday, or would this have to wait till next year and then the funds would have to come out of next year?
We could probably squeeze it in this fiscal year. Yes, we haven't quite finished the agenda. Well, we've got it done today. So.
Did we do the other ones before the council though? Like the grant?
I don't know if
the grants go before the council?
Yeah, they usually do.
They always do. We just make a recommendation and determine whether or not they get it.
But my only concern is since they were already paid once up this year.
Yeah, that Nicole brings a good point, is that they've already got funded once out of this fiscal year.
Is there something in there that prohibits that from happening more than once? I know we haven't done that, but because it seems like we're gonna
jump into next year and get that 25, or you're gonna grab it from this.
Yeah.
This won't be carryover either, will it? This what's here?
No, it will not be carried once it's. We start out with a brand new $25,000.
Well, because I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember. I've read once, a couple of years ago, the whole thing that Peggy did, but I, I don't remember anything necessarily prohibiting somebody from getting money twice in the same fiscal year.
Yeah, we've never had this question before because we never funded events in the July time period.
Right.
Because it hits right at the beginning of July, we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. So, we can make the recommendation to the council. The council can decide.
Can hold it over until next year. I mean, maybe that could be what's presented to council, is if they're not comfortable funding it with the remaining balance of this year's funding, then they can consider the funding to come out of next year, and we'd be fine either way.
But if there is a prohibition against doing it, that we need to have that determined one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would say go ahead and do it if the funds aren't going to be available. I mean, money's going to go someplace else.
Okay, I think your thinking is good. Let's talk about the dollar amount then.
Mm-hmm. I would just...
Let's do 3,000. I'd support 3,000.
Yeah, 3,000.
With Lorna and Lil's proviso that whatever the council determines, mm-hmm. the best way to do the expenditure.
So the motion would be like to recommend that they be awarded $3,000 contingent upon discovering where we can do it in this right. fiscal year or not, and if we can't, that they consider it out of next right. fiscal year's budget. So they can determine which year they want it to come out with it. The amount would be $3,000. So John's made that motion.
Can I just add one clarification?
Yeah.
And maybe it's up to $3,000 because we're also asking for some documentation that they're actually for doing those advertisements. It doesn't have to be. It could be an email that says we're advertising
this is we're spending
here.
It
something.
Yeah.
So we just don't give them the money and they spend a portion
yeah.
of it, but not all of it.
Okay. Yeah. What we've been doing is like with Hatfield Marine Science Center and. Like Celtic Festival, those that you have been working with, they've been submitting the invoices that they've paid, and then we've been reimbursing them that way. So that's kind of how it's been happening.
Okay. So changing that to say up to $3,000.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I accept that.
Okay. Do we have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I did just want to share with you, I know you've already decided, but I wanted to just let you know from last year, and thank you for last year again, because it did help tremendously, and we brought people in from as far as Laramie, Wyoming, Honolulu, or Kauai, Hawaii, and tons from the I-5 corridor, just so you know who we're hitting. We're Albany, Portland, down to Eugene, that whole concentrated area, Salem, there's a ton of teams just up and down the I-5 corridor. And then we had, I think, two Newport teams and a Toledo team was all from the coast. So it really is reaching the audience you're trying to hit. And it was a lot of fun, too. So thank you so much for last year and for your recommendation this year.
And that's one area that Lorna has been wanting to hit is the Wyoming.
Yeah, I saw Laramie, Wyoming, and I thought, wow, really?
Yeah. I'm going to get 3 week sales in Japan.
Thanks.
Okay, next up on the agenda is new media, but since Liam is here, he has something that he'd like to throw in, I'm just going to suggest that we go ahead and let him know at this time.
Excellent, thank you. Real quick, sorry, I prepared for a PowerPoint, and then I realized I couldn't do it, so... I've got these ready to rumble. In fact, you guys might want to just pass those around. I also had a nice picture. I thought the picture was extremely cool, so I had 10 of those printed up for everybody. The picture was taken by Jeremy from the Newport News Times and kind of shows the character of the race very well. You guys rather I sat down probably so you don't all get neck ache. Yeah, Coastal Classic Mountain Bike Race. We held it May 6th. Event was a fantastic success. We were very happy with how it went. It was run as a true community event. We had a number of volunteers, especially Danielle and Elliot Crowder of Bike Newport, really helped out the whole time of the race. They really kind of brought the thing to life. And Jeremy Burke from Newport News Times and his cycling team. And we probably had 60 volunteers total working on the race. And unlike a lot of events, a lot of those people were actually before the race, not just showing up on the day of and putting in a couple of hours. These were people that were out scouting trails, recruiting people, and doing physical labor to help us really be able to pull this off. And a big thanks to the landowners as well. On to the race itself. I'll skip straight through to the statistics. You can kind of read that first stuff if you want and not want following off the slide very well. So. The statistics is really the interesting stuff. We had 27% roughly were Newport residents, and all the rest are from out of town. 7.9% of the participants were actually from out of the state, so we really were reaching quite a way. And the furthest person came from 586 miles to take part in the race. So that was pretty exciting when I kind of looked through a lot of
that. Is that from Wyoming?
quite different. It's Sacramento, California, but about as different from Wyoming as you can get. But nevertheless, a serious drive to come take part in this race, which we were really excited about. And there's actually, if we flip over, the demographics kind of tie back in. So when we came, when I came before you guys, we asked for assistance for marketing, printing flyers, the graphic design associated with that, and putting ads out in the newspaper and that kind of stuff. Then almost immediately after that, the Newport News Times came on as a sponsor, and what one of the things they did, they printed thousands of copies of a flyer for us, they printed hundreds of copies of a poster, and put in free ads for us. So that was not necessary anymore, so we decided to use part of the money to go to the Pedal Nation Bike Show in Portland, which is a huge bike expo, and we went there and put on a whole presentation about the race and stuff. And if you look at the kind of the demographics of the race, we got a massive turnout from Portland, much greater than if you put Salem, Eugene, Corvallis, you know, all together. The turnout from Portland was still much greater. So we really think we did reach a good population by going there. And we also had a lot of folks who came up and said, hey, well, you know, we're not mountain bikers. Is there, you know, road biking opportunities in Newport? We said, you know, absolutely. You know, the Bay Road's fantastic. You can go along the coast and all this stuff. And so I think we probably got a lot more people coming to Newport just to recreate than actually took part in the race. And I think we got a lot of people to take part in the race from it. Skip along the... One of the coolest things about the race that really kind of hit home for me, we got a bunch of emails from race participants just saying how happy they are, how happy they were with the race, how excited they were about the town, how they loved the community participation. I've just picked a couple of them here that I think really summed it up. Would you like me to go ahead and read them, or would you like to read them on your own?
You can do a couple.
I'll go ahead. This one's from Chad Butler, who's one of the competitors. Says, thank you so much for all your effort and the excellent race you put on. My wife asked me twice during our stay in Newport how short the driving distance, how short a drive it was to such an enjoyable destination. We visited restaurants, a grocery store, a gas station, and had to put our feet in the ocean. We will definitely be back for the race next year, and likely a few extra times too. And I promise I did not make that up. But I couldn't have paid for a better response to that one. And then the next one's a little longer, but this is the guy who actually ran the race, and this was an excerpt from a very long email that he sent about just how he really didn't know what to expect and how excited he was and how it kind of really came together. And when the guy that wins it's happy, you know it's good, because he goes to a lot of races. He's not just some guy out the weekend. And then just really to wrap up, I'd just like to say thank you. You know, obviously you guys supporting it really helped us get rolling. Destination Newport Committee was really on board before I think a lot of other people were, and really helped us get out there and start doing what we needed to do to put this on. And thanks, I mean, we had massive community support too, you know, from News Times, the Chamber, Bike Newport, and then I think about 20 other local businesses came on board as small sponsors and helped out in various ways, donated things, and just fantastic. And I think I was overwhelmed with the kind of support we got.
I was shocked at the Chamber. We had so much feedback from this, from people sending in emails about how great it was and that they enjoyed their stay and that they discovered Newport and we'll be back again, you know, not just for the race, but and seeing I had to work that Sunday, and seeing the number of cars going up and down with bikes attached to them was kind of, was really eye-opening. We had a guy that contacted us and wanted to know if we paid to have him produce a video, and he did do that. We negotiated the price for it, and the Chamber paid for it, and it's on our website as well as on yours, and it's a great marketing tool for next year.
So. Yeah, fantastic video. Thank you again for that. It's really excellent.
It's good.
Do you know what percentage of the participants were non-Lincoln County, not just non-Newport residents, but non-Lincoln County residents?
I could figure it out for you. It would take, I could email it to you. What I have...
I'm just curious. I don't need an exact number. I was just curious.
Yeah, I'd say off the top of the head, probably 60% at least. I mean, there was the majority of folks from Lincoln County were from Newport. There was a few Toledos, Walport, but not an overwhelming number. What I actually have is we have a breakdown. We pulled out our demographics from our system, and it breaks it down by area codes. If you're curious, I can give you these. But unfortunately, you know, it's got, you know, Portland alone's got whatever many zip codes, so that's all on there.
Well, Liam, it's too bad that Mr. Butler didn't talk about staying overnight when he was here.
Yeah, well, the other one of the funny ones is when we were in the middle of the awards ceremony. One of the guys, we announced that one of the names, and they're like, oh, he had to leave, his kids wanted to go to the aquarium. So so he had to miss his award to go and take his kids to the aquarium, but it showed that people really were kind of enjoying the town.
Did you two notice an uptick in your business that weekend?
Not particularly.
Not particularly.
Which, what were the dates?
It was in May.
May 6th, which was, you know, day after loyalty days. But we know a lot of people were staying in town because we had a late registration slash pre-race party packet pickup day at Bike Newport on the Saturday. And there were a ton of people showed up to register at the last minute and to just pick up their packets and stuff. And I'm doubting they were driving down and driving back to Portland.
Our visitor count on Monday and Tuesday from that, from carryover from this, was very high. So I would say that there were a lot of people that spent the night or two nights.
I think it's a great, I'm glad you guys got it going again. And I think it's a wonderful tribute to Ben. Do it again.
And the Etta family were present. We did a presentation. The mayor presented a poster, and they were extremely grateful and happy about it. And we were really happy they let us use the name of the event. So obviously that helped us, you know. It's an entirely different event, but having the name and the location tied together really, I think, helped us. And
it's a great place to do it. That's just I love the picture on the first page of mud on the guy's face.
Is there any other questions or?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again. We much appreciated. And I'll see you on
Thank you. So Dave and Charles, are you guys on the agenda or are you?
They aren't.
Visiting? They're on the.
They're no, they aren't. But they should have been. That was my mistake.
So let's get you right in. How about that?
Okay. A non-agenda item.
No, you're an other.
Fantastic. Nothing else. What else is new? Well, thanks for having me here. For folks that don't know us, I presume everyone knows Charles. My name is Dave Price. I'm the owner of it today, and that's Charles Helbig. And since this month in 2006, he's been sort of our advertising guru. Couldn't do anything without him. And I just wanted to run through a few things. I know we have less than 10 minutes, and I'll be respectful of that time. I just quickly wanted to tell you a little bit about this today and our readership and why we believe we might be an asset to Things Newport. That'd be great. We have a few of this week's paper and a few of last week's in case you are unfamiliar with the today. Talk a little bit about our reach and our audience, and take a look at maybe an advertiser of ours that actually I have some comments in the packet in front of you that we think might be in a similar situation to you, and maybe what we've done for them. And then finally, present a couple of numbers for your consideration, and then, of course, any time during this to take any questions, we'd be more than happy to do so. We've learned a lot since launching the paper on Memorial Day weekend of 2005 about our audience. We've been a little surprised at how it's developed over the years. We think that we deliver a pretty compelling mix of active locals up and down the Oregon coast of over about 100 miles of coastline, as well as, of course, visitors. Actually were kind of what we had in the sights when we launched the Oregon Coast Today, and what's been surprising is the number of year-round active visitors that we've been, active locals that we've been able to harness and sort of involve in the things that we promote over the years. We find that our readers tend to engage in new things. They like to go to these new places. I was just playing a voicemail for Charles. We met at Nana's quickly. Any excuse to go to Nana's. On the way over here, and there's a woman named Lou something. Anyway, she's from Walport. She called me while I was camping this weekend and read me the riot act, because some of you have the paper in front of you. The coverage of the Celtic Festival didn't include a phone number. And that was Belinda's design. She didn't have anyone assigned to answer the phone. And this woman was saying, gosh, you know, I don't have the internet, but I want to know more about this event. And so I said, well, that's a very good point. We had a very nice talk over the campfire. I was on the campfire. But
I asked her about her and how long she'd been reading it today, and she told me a story about how she, years ago, discovered the Tillamook County Fair, Lorna's old stomping ground, has lived here for decades, had never gone until she read a cover story about it in the Oregon Coast Today. Last year she went and spent a night in Tillamook so that she could catch the Pig and Ford races twice, which, as a Pig and Ford fan, I can absolutely understand. But I love the fact that she's sort of indicative of the people that you might not necessarily think are candidates. The Tillamook Chamber of Commerce may not have considered her a candidate for driving new business, but nonetheless, there she is. Our readers tend to not know or care about county lines and city limits. We had to do a lot of explaining with maps, et cetera, over each week with things that we're promoting to tell people where they are. And distance can certainly be a factor, but we've also found that a reader in Rockaway Beach, whether they're a local or a visitor, is just as likely as anyone else to pick up and go to the Lottie to operate in the AHAT, as an example, if we can do a good job of selling why. And we found that kind of flow, again, one of the surprises. People move up and down this stretch of the Oregon coast, and we're really, really happy to be a part of pushing them up and down there. And again, it's not something I really anticipated fully. I've kind of leapt into this discussion of kind of who we reach without maybe telling you, for those who aren't familiar about the Today, just very, very briefly, we distribute every week, between Wednesday night and Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. We're distributed at 400-plus locations between Yahats and the Yahats Inn is our southernmost point. And all the way up to Rockaway Beach, and just about Wheeler. We've been doing this since Memorial Day of 2005, and come tempest and power outage, we haven't missed a week yet. I hope that's wood. And we don't intend to miss any anytime soon. We started out at 120 locations and 5,000 copies, which at the time sort of filled up the back of my Explorer, and I was pretty fired up about that. I'm worried that the shocks could take it. Well, they can, and more, because now we're doing 17,000 copies. 17.5 is actually our peak last summer. I don't know exactly where we'll peak this year. Guessing somewhere between there and 20,000 copies a week at our peak weeks around the Labor Day mark. But not to mention July 4th will be peak. But so that makes us one of the largest, if not the very largest, weekly newspaper on the Oregon coast. Certainly in those weeks. Now in the winter, the off season, we can drop to 9 or 10, but not really below 9 for the last couple of winters in terms of 1,000 copies per week. So I guess if that's our numbers, congratulations to me, but what does it really mean to you? And where that leads us is to response. And when we look at what we think we can deliver to Destination Newport as well as other organizations, is creative advertising messages that are extremely flexible, i.e. we can change your message on a weekly basis, and we encourage people to take advantage of that flexibility. And given our small staff size, a big chunk of it right here, not you personally, but yes, Charles. I'm the one who just left Nana's. And we pride ourselves on that creativity, the affordability, and the flexibility that we can deliver. In your case in particular, we certainly love the branding that's been done. I think your outdoor is compelling. I think your online presence is impressive. And I think that what we can offer is a way to sort of harness that and use it in a very flexible means. In a lot of ways, advertising in the Today is like advertising in a lot of billboards. You're getting in front of an awful lot of eyeballs. Granted, they are smaller billboards, I'll give you, but I think what it takes advantage of is the fact that while we do play to an audience every week of active, engaged locals, i.e. we don't mail this out to anyone who doesn't request it. I'm not interested in finding, I'm sure years from now I'm going to be a wonderful couch potato with a big bag of peanut butter filled pretzels and not wanting to leave the house and watch TV. That is not my target audience, nor do I think is it yours. And so we don't reach out to those people. You have to sort of opt into the Today to go find it, download, and to read it. We're trying to serve it up in as many ways as possible. We want it to be as easy as possible to read the Today, however you want to read it. For a couple of months now, we've been investing in a weekly iPad edition where folks can just walk by in a coffee shop, scan the little QR code at the top with a Microsoft tag recently on our cover, and fire it up on their Galaxy tab or their iPad, which is a nice little added bit of utility in that it might one day save me a little bit of printing. And then the other side, it'll also allow for, it makes all the links that might appear, a URL that appears in your ad is certainly live at that point, and it can connect you directly with our readers and your customers in a powerfully tangible and personal way. It's something that we in print really couldn't deliver until very recently. Among our thousands of readers that we have every week, I think there's a few things worth noting. I absolutely appreciate the sort of 50-mile radius idea. It's something we wrestled with for years with Lincoln City before the VCB jumped in with it today to test the waters. Certainly we cover a broad stretch of coast, I'm not even going to address our online presence or our 7,800 fans on Facebook or any of that I think really drives the numbers and drives the brand. It makes us an information source for people no matter how they want to receive it. But I can tell you that our readers are pre-qualified to be interested in the coast. They're eager to learn new things, to experience new activities, and visit new places. Otherwise, there's no need to pick us up. I'm not going to tell you about taxes. I'm not going to give you a police report. I'm not going to give you TV listings. These are all things we've sort of decided from the outset that we don't want to do. We're all about getting out and having fun on the Oregon coast. And another thing, of course, that's worth mentioning is every single one of our readers is within an easy drive of Newport. I think that, again, using as an example, I suppose we should take a look at the packet that you've got there. The Lincoln City Visitor and Convention Bureau has, when I called Sandy Pfaff last week in preparation for this meeting, I wanted to... I don't know how many of you know Sandy. I've known her since 1996, and I got to tell you, when I called and asked her for her opinion, I kind of had my fingers crossed and my eyes closed because she will not hesitate
to tell you
if she doesn't think this is something she wants to put her name on. She will clearly not, and I was very pleased to see. I won't read it to you here, but she shared some very nice comments about the today. It turns out that for the third or fourth consecutive year, she's not spending, you know, hundreds of dollars a week with us on quarter-page ads for nothing. She's doing it for a reason. And one of the reasons is Sandy is like my professor at OSU. She doesn't do anything she can't measure. And I love that. It's always been one of our mantras. And one of the things they do is if you've ever attended one of the culinary events at the City of Lincoln City's Culinary Center, I have actually a few of the most recent three major events that have been held at the Culinary Center, the findings of surveys, you can't enter or exit that thing without someone asking you a list of questions. And paramount among those questions to me is a question about how they heard about it. When it comes to local media, we found, well, I should say regional, as it includes Oregon Live, the Oregonian, the Statesman Journal, all these sources. I think we haven't been touched. I'm noticing the chatter cook-off. I rue the day that the Statesman Journal decided to do a cover feature on that event this year because I think our numbers would have been even more powerful. But I'm glad the Statesman provided us that coverage this year. But they did drive some people to the Culinary Center. But what I think the pie charts show, and in case you can't read the fine print, if your eyes are as bad as mine, pink is the Oregon coast today. In so far as answering that question, how did you hear about this event? And I think that those numbers are compelling. One thing I didn't include there, outside of just the percentages, is the raw numbers. I'd be more than happy to get those for you. I just pulled this from information that Lisa and Sandy provided from the VCB. And they have records that go back before that to years of other events. I just figured that the most recent data we can give you, the better. So these are the last three events that have really taken place there. With that, we certainly did provide some numbers. I know that our timing is awkward to come to you in terms of a budget standpoint. We aren't really anticipating at all any kind of vote or walking out with an ad order or anything. We would just like to be on the table. We would like to be considered as a valuable tool that can be put to work to promote the today. I have a fun email on my phone that I got this morning from Belinda at the Celtic Festival, from a couple who were reading us in Pacific City. Who were struck by the kilt. And I want to thank Patrick at the News Guard for being willing to pose for a competing publication in the Surf and get his brogues wet. But he helped us promote this. And we do reach out up and down the Oregon coast and drive people to these events as best we can. We'd certainly love your support in doing so, and I think that if you could, if and when we win your business, we will certainly encourage you to do whatever you can to make it measurable. If there's any kind of redemption or any kind of contact us for more information, if we can have an email address or something that might be different than other media that you're placing it in, I'd put us up against anybody on the Oregon coast or even inland in terms of generating response. I think you'll find that dollar for dollar, pound for pound, we can deliver as well as or better than just about anybody out there. We look a lot at OregonCoast.org's website as one of our sources of, not competition, but another comparison to how we reach out and how we drive business. And, you know, I look at our 17,000 readership on a peak week, and actually that's copies, right? I should probably add a multiplier for readers, but I hesitate to do that. But you know, you can look at websites that have thousands of unique visitors a day, and I think that's very impressive and powerful, and I shoot for that on my site. But how many of those people that you're reaching and who are interacting with you in social media or wherever, how many of them can actually be at the pack within 2 hours, as an example, or on the bayfront? We can do that. Every one of our readers, at least in print, can do so. Now, I may have people reading the iPad edition in Kuala Lumpur, for all I know, but the vast majority of our readers can act on what you present to them in a very quick way. And of course, they can plan ahead if you give them the opportunity in your ads to do so. I don't want to even go into my next page of notes because I fear I'm running over my time. But does anyone have any questions about the Today or for Charles or myself about the website or Facebook?
Well, I'd just say a couple of things from the chamber standpoint. We see a lot more than the local coastal readers picking this up, because we'll have somebody that stops in the office and will say, I picked this up in Tillamook and I'm interested in this, because they're on their way down the coast. And so then they stay over. But it's generated from this. And this itself is probably the most comprehensive coastal calendar that there is available for calendar of events type of activities. And if we were to consider doing something in this, like I noticed there was a half page for 26 weeks with full color, and it also gives you a full page in the iPad and some banner presence, it would be a perfect medium for us to just advertise events that are going on in Newport in that, you know, month or in that quarter. And then down below do some QR codes like stay here, QR code to that, eat here, QR code to that, to do here, and a QR code to that. And then people could use that as, okay, if you're going to consider one of these events, where do you stay, where do you eat, and what else do you do while you're here? And I'm, you know, the fact that you've got 17,000 of these that go out, and they go off of our shelf, we hardly ever have any left over from people going through. This is just one of my favorite local publications, so to speak, that really reaches an audience and provides information that even at the chamber we get things out of this to put on our website, because you have more than we're capable of taking in. So if anybody's ready to make a motion to that, I'm fine. If you guys want to wait until our strategic planning, I'm fine with that too, but I would not be opposed to entertaining something today.
This article on the Tillamook Air Museum.
Yes, sir.
It says the fly thing is the 14th and 15th. That would be today and tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That's just an odd day. You needed to put in here, though, that they are moving to Newport.
We'll see.
You see the dirt moving more than I do.
I'm very optimistic.
I should point out that a couple of years ago, we ran a story on or about April 1st, 2011, about moving the Air Museum over Highway 101 as a tunnel. And that generated a lot of heat. And in fact, there was an article in the Headlight Herald that said the Oregon Coast Day was pulling our legs collectively when we ran our April Fool's Day story. So I'm not going to touch moving the Air Museum for another couple of years until it's actually gone.
And I just downloaded this Fork Fly
yes, sir.
App. And you just saved me $5 at Nana, so thank you.
Bam, there you go. Yeah, that's something that we're looking at getting deployed further up and down the coast. And we're finding it a lot of fun. And typically, our business on the Four Flies is largely lodging and restaurants, but we're trying to get more. Roby's has just joined up with all their locations. And you can get 18% off a recliner at Roby's if you want to go. But thank you for the kind comments, Lana. By the way, just to mention, the full page feature in the iPad edition that Lorna mentioned, basically the iPad, of course, allows us to, if I have a 28-page paper that goes to press this week, I could make it 29 or 30 by just placing it out on the iPad edition. And we have Silver Sands up in Rockaway Beach that actually does this every week. We have some special folks who, it's something we offer for, I think it's $50 a month.
$50 a month.
It just allows you to have a color, a nice big splashy ad placed. And one thing that I think the Silver Sands has found is actually since anytime a URL that appears in print is actually on the iPad, the filter turns it into a live link. So he actually does something he would never do in a print ad where he just runs the entire address of his reservations email address. Or website address, and so a reader can just click on it and it opens directly into where they can start making a reservation, in addition to his traditional website, etc. And so we wanted to offer that as just as an incentive. And the nice thing is, granted, our iPad numbers are nowhere near the number of our print readers. And hopefully that will change over time, but it certainly would be easy for you to track, such as it is.
Where do you actually print the paper?
We print it in McMinnville every single week. We've printed at the Oregon Litho Print. Yeah. Could you carry the Farmer's Market guide under that? We also just printed a Farmer's Market publication that we want to thank the folks at the Newport Farmer's Market for jumping in and helping sponsor. And this, we printed 25,000 copies of this. It's distributed all summer long. Once they're gone, all the vendors and the markets that participated will actually get a business card that has just a QR code on one side and a Microsoft tag on the other that someone could shoot to open this up on their phone so that they can say, gosh, I love your strawberries, how do I reach you? And this way the vendors don't have to buy that sort of thing. Nice. So we recently did a publication that we mailed. Hopefully you all received it. We mailed it to every address in Lincoln County for Oregon Coast Community College's 25th anniversary. This was prior to their big to-do that we recently had at the campus in Newport. And so we occasionally do those special publications, but our focus is clearly on our weekly product. Again, I appreciate your time. And if you have any other further questions, you can always reach me. Our cell number and email address is on the packet.
You guys want to make any kind of consideration today, or do you want to wait until strategic planning?
I would actually recommend talk about the whole plan for next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this mm-hmm. sounds very good, but it should probably fit into all the stuff that we're.
Could we make a note to make sure that this is on the list for the
I'll just include this in the next packet.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll get out of your hair. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Could I get 6 more copies of the Oregon Today? I can give to the rest of the council.
Yes, so they can see what they look like. This is this week's edition. Someone picking berries at their home in Toledo. Preview the berry season. I tend to be kind of food centric in this coverage.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Perfect.
I talked about that last time.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We need an all reinforcement.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have some new media considerations. There's a KBAL proposal.
It's in the main packet.
Mm-hmm. Option 1, 6 to 7 a.m., 16 spots on KBAL news.
So they must have seen their competitors, mm-hmm. and they said, hey, why don't we do that?
Yes, and then there was some... It's like there's is 36.
So they'd have to produce another thing, right? I would assume. We can't.
I think
do we own that other thing.
Yeah, we do own the other things. And they were talking about June, July, and August, and I told them that we were already at the end of our fiscal, and we were having a strategic planning. And my thought is that we might want to just put this on a strategic planning meeting
okay.
to look at.
It's not. Is it connected with Bradshaw in any way?
No.
Because I know Bradshaw has their little coverage thing mentioned. I didn't know if it was those people telling KVAL, you know, I think, like, well, you know, we've been trying to get a Newport. Why don't you guys try it? We'll piggyback and we got our interactive stuff and we'll do it together with Fisher. And I didn't know.
Yeah, I think.
Is Fisher a KVAL station? Do you know?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that Bradshaw. Because they've got down here the KVAL.com, so it's not the TV station itself, but it's their .com, KATU, and so what the Bradshaw proposal is, and they've called several times wondering if we were going to take...
Bradshaw's a separate proposal than the KVA.
Yeah, right. KVA.
No, I was just wondering, I understood that part, I just wondered, were they kind of cahoots, like, because I saw that on that...
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Because remember, she always... In their presentation, we
always
have these relationships with these TV stations that you just can't believe.
They talk to each other.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. It's I think I'd like to see us just move this one onto the strategic planning too, unless you guys have any burning desire to.
The Bradshaw one too.
Yeah.
Okay, the Bradshaw one. Just a little footnote in history about that. They do keep getting in touch about different buys that they have these opportunities, and this is one she sent along that was just too good to be true. And then there's another side note on that. But I'm looking at $15,000. When you look at this, I really hate spending $15,000 on online advertising when all it is a banner, and that's a perceived value rather than a tangible value.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a billboard up or you have an ad in a print publication versus that, you actually do have a value because there's a physical piece of something on this. It's just a perceived value that people are going to look at and I think it's a lot of money for an online campaign. If that's been my personal experience. But saying that, we can still consider it, you know, at the planning meeting if you guys want to. And then Trev from Bend Media, the guy that presented last year, he sent an email this morning to Nicole saying that he noticed Bradshaw was making the pitch to us. He was the third finalist, you know, he was interested too, and she sent him one back saying it's not a proposal to be our agency, it's just a
they just contacted us on their own.
Yeah.
He was online looking at the packet or something.
Yes,
he must look at. He must have been looking at it. He wasn't
thorough. He's more good.
Well, the tone of his email was
not
kind.
Very snarky.
Yeah.
It's like,
They all seem to be that way. Bradshaw's been that way too in the past.
Yes.
I think they should have a different approach. I think you should say thanks for the opportunity. If you ever need any help, I sure like to do it, rather than kind of
or
snarkily
just,
respond when it's happening. You get picked.
You know, the proposals now and then, that's fine.
Say, hey, we're out here. Here's an opportunity for you.
Giving a proposal after you've been pissy with somebody isn't a very smart idea, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then next is the online display.
So are we going to consider this as strategic planning, or do we want to pass altogether?
I'd pass altogether.
I don't think that sounds like that great of a deal.
I don't either. Has that been your experience with online? Do you think $15,000 is a good
deal? No, and I don't think that's any... I think we had a better deal.
That's a waste of money.
Whatchamacallit, our last agency.
Oh, Great Britain.
Yeah, on the banner ads we were doing.
Doing
on the
it, yeah, on the Google and the KGW.
Yeah.
And we can certainly look into that too. Is it?
I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just saying.
No, but there's opportunity.
I think it was less expensive doing KGW than it is than what they're proposing to do this.
Well, you have to remember, it's an agency, and they're going to take a cut. So their buy might actually only be $10,000, but their commission is going to be $5,000.
But they told us they could get all those discounts. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
You talked about that a lot.
I think I could call each one of them up and probably get it for under $15,000.
You probably
could. It's like, yeah, that'd be kind of fun to do, except I don't have time. I could get someone right on.
Yeah, just say you just want a straight banner ad for a couple months. How much would it be?
Yeah. Well,
and I would say we put this on the...
The online, he just likes to send something every month to us so that we know what he's got available.
No, he's worked for the Oregonian.
Mike Maloney?
Yeah.
He might have.
Because I knew Mike Maloney, worked for the Oregonian. I did some stuff with the Oregonian a few years ago, and I've golfed with him and stuff, and I wonder if it's the same guy.
Yeah.
I mean, went from Oregonian to this.
It would be likely, because you have a tendency to go...
Yeah. If you talk to him, just say, hey, are you the Oregonian? Oregonian, you know John Parr?
Well, he did put a picture of our banner on there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. No, that would be great. I think moving that onto the strategic plan, too, would be a really good suggestion. Because we can't really do anything more now, but it's nice to see what he has available for the future. So
I noticed in his note, he talked about our famous L wall.
Yeah.
But he said that, I thought it was pretty neat. He said, you know, don't try to do it. It's too expensive to do the tower, but why not do the L? I thought that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I think so too. Smart. I like that. He's kind of in tune with what we're looking for.
I don't know if I like these window things, because
I didn't like the window.
You have to take time to look at them. It's not, if you're just driving by, you're not going
to
see them.
I have to show you guys this. Check this out.
Did you see that one, Lily?
Yeah.
Like, here's one of them.
But yeah, especially this one here.
Something the one knows.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this one here would be really hard to figure out what each, because the windows are different shades.
And there's another one, too, downtown. There's another building.
Things move too fast nowadays for that. That's,
I got to show you this one.
That's why you need the big...
I'm gonna find
like this.
Big and bold, accessible on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna fly.
I'm gonna find
this. Get weird in Newport.
Well, we've got
hairy adventure.
One big hairy adventure after another, and get your crab on. We're gonna start a promotion, get your crab on, and do something fun. Hey, check this out. This is that banner on the building. You can see that?
Yeah.
One of the French tour operators that was here took that and sent it to me.
Oh, cool. Wow.
That
cool.
was really cool.
What?
Yeah.
We're going to have a bridge, amazing. A thing, a lighthouse.
Well, yeah.
You got that
the long one.
That?
This one.
Oh, you have a car.
Not this one.
Oh,
yeah.
You could do either one, could have a bridge, a lighthouse, or something. Not that I want it, but
yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to visualize.
Well, plus you're driving, making a left.
If you're walking and you have time, you go.
Yeah. Wow. Remember, there is a lot of pedestrian traffic right there, because Target wouldn't have built there if there wasn't. So.
And then the other one, the apartment complex, would be very hard to look at.
It's going to be a Target store if it already isn't open.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Where is that? That's got to be. There's the Crystal Ballroom.
Yeah. There's
so that's got to be Burnside.
Do you have this one in color?
I do.
The apartment?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
So.
This one here is hard to visualize.
But here's the problem with the crab thing. Just from restaurant perspective, the whole crab thing is, and I'm not suggesting we do anything different, I'm just throwing this out there as a comment, is Dungeness crab right now is $24 a pound. So we can't even afford to sell it to people. I mean, a 4-ounce portion of crab, for us to be able to sell you a 4-ounce portion of Dungeness crab would be $18.
Are we doing
for four? No, I'm just saying the whole... but we get a lot of flack because we don't have it, because we're the Dungeness crab capital of the world.
Yeah.
But, it's unfortunate. It doesn't matter if it's seasonal. It's still $24 a pound.
It's in the winter. It's expensive, too.
It's always expensive. It's insane. We were paying $9.99 a pound 12 years ago when I started. Yeah. And it's $24 our cost now. Whole crab was about $2 when we started buying it for 2 pound and up. Now it's more like 8 to 9 for the 2 pound and up.
It's probably the labor.
How much is a whole crab if you had to buy one? I mean, to serve it in your restaurant, what would you give to
we have wolf to run probably about $35 for a 2 pound crab, which I don't like to serve them smaller than that, because it's not worth
the
guest's effort. But just a comment that we get that whole Dungeness crab capital of the world thing thrown in our face all the time, and it's like,
sorry.
Well, why don't you just go catch it yourself, Rick? Jeez.
Yeah. We could, we would, we can't.
Well, you need to serve.
As a matter of fact, the sheriff's department was at Georgie's the other day, checking all of our shellfish tags. And
you could sell it, it's a lot cheaper to buy it by
the city. Well, and that's the problem that we have.
You're talking about crack crab, too. You're not talking about
like...
Well, whole crab, too.
Whole crab's expensive.
Whole crab's not $24.95 a pound.
No, but whole crab is about, for 2 pound and up, is about $9 a pound, mm-hmm. our cost. Go down and try to buy one at Lighthouse.
Yeah, or go to Local Ocean. I've seen people buy it. They have a whole net. It's got to be $25
or $30. And the problem that we have is I'm very staunch in menu integrity, and unfortunately, there's a lot of other places in town that when they do things like fondues, crab melts, they're not using Dungeness as crab, but they're saying they are. And so then, you know, we get flack, well, how come this place is in? Same thing with, you know, wild salmon. There's at least 10 places in town, for a fact I know, 10 places in town that say they have wild salmon.
They don't.
They don't.
Now, Newport Cafe would never.
I don't know.
Now, Dean, we're recording.
But anyway, that's it. The Dungeness crab thing was really, I mean, just I'm just saying that as a restaurant
marketing
purveyor.
Thing, yeah.
No.
But
so we're going to switch from the crab logo. I'll have burgers and something else.
Yeah.
You can't buy
everything.
Let's put a seagull on there.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
What we need for tourism is more docks or
yeah, we do.
Debris floating in. Yeah. I have never seen so many people on Aga Beach.
Well, the count. I got an email from Jenny Damaris yesterday. They said last year's count at that state park was around 2,000. They're currently like 12,900 and something.
I'd like to see them leave it there.
I saw a Seattle Times article today that said, quoted those numbers.
I mean, so much.
Came from the Lincoln County Emergency Management.
And just say, hey, you know, if you want to dismantle it, make it in your contract to do it like after September 15th.
Yeah. Talk to the Oregon State Parks this morning. They have an emergency situation with that. It's got an 8-foot drop in the hole. People are climbing on it and tearing things off. They've had to have people patrolling it from Beverly Beach State Park, and they don't have the manpower to do it to keep people from doing stupid things and getting hurt. People are swimming out there at nighttime to climb up on it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
During the high tide. And so their emergency declaration came because it's an emergency to get it out of public danger issues.
They're scared of people getting hurt.
Their cost to dismantle is $79,000. Their cost to float is $115,000.
They're going to cut it up right there.
So we've tried to encourage them to slow the process down so the stakeholders here in the community can discuss a viable option for it, because now the Japanese American Society is involved. They're very concerned about what's going to happen with the dock, and then Wyden's office called yesterday, and they're also quite concerned.
What's the Japanese American? What were they concerned about? What's going to happen with the dock?
Because we could very easily create an international incident if we don't do the right thing in their eyes.
Oh, I see what you mean.
The Japanese culture is very different than ours.
I see what they're really concerned.
You know, the biggest thing is what it symbolizes to them.
If it's anything Mark McConnell said, when they were in Japan, they just kept apologizing for the tsunami, and they apologized for the earthquake, and so... Mm-hmm.
All I have to say is that thing was a tourist attraction. I went down and saw it, and there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, between Wednesday and Sunday, they had 1,000 cars
get down
and their multiplied drive.
There was no parking.
Why don't we build a fake one and float it in? And then when they come and talk about it, say, well, no, it's just a tourist attraction.
When it gets slow, I think we should find something to push ashore.
Yeah. Then the other suggestion was to float it into the bay and utilize it as a working dock with a memorial placard, or to use it as a sea lion dock, or to have some kind of opportunity that way. But then George Bollert sent an email this morning saying that Hatfield Marine Science Center is extremely concerned about the invasive species.
They don't, they're scared.
For crying out loud, we've had Japanese ships in and out of this harbor for years. Mm-hmm. If they've got it,
we've
got it.
Well, the guy from Oregon, and he scared me to death, like how dangerous it was.
Yeah.
So I didn't touch it. I was afraid of
it. I sent an email out yesterday to, you know, the encouragement of a number of people. Sent an email out to city, county, state, Hatfield Marine, Aquarium, Parks, you know, just to try to get everybody on the same page.
That's a good idea.
There's so many people calling the office and saying, well, you should do this with it. Why don't you do that? Well, has anybody thought about this? Well, we're getting a group together, and we're going to do that. But the bottom line is it lies with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. It's up to them what to do with it, and they want a decision by Monday. Because
maybe the Japanese folks will sue them and slow that down.
Yeah.
It looks like, from what you said, it was 115 to float at 75.
79 to...
to dismantle it. And if they dismantle it...
So there's a shortage of about $40,000 if they put it in the bay.
If they float it, they want someone else to pay for it because it's taking it somewhere and someone's going to receive it. There have been other ports up along the Oregon coast that have requested information about it because they have an interest in having it floated to them.
So the state wouldn't pay the full $75,000?
The state wouldn't pay the $115,000 if they float it. But the state would pay the $79,000 if it's dismantled. If somebody wants to be in receivership of a portion of it to put as a monument somewhere, they'd have to pay the additional costs of what it would do to scrap that out and to transport it. But they have to take the lowest bid on the opportunity, and my understanding is it's $79,000.
So they think there's things inside the hull, things that are alive.
Capital Marine was worried, so they were trying to put the brakes on anybody wanting to float it in the bay. But I noticed
thinking that stuff would come to the bay.
Another email from someone from Samuel Chan from Hatfield Marine, and so he probably weighed in on it. But the last one from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department said, from John Allen, said we opened the bids yesterday, low bid. For refloating the dock into the ocean was $115,89. And the low bid for demolition removal to a landfill was $79,922. If we found another agency, city, county, port, etc., that we could transfer ownership that agreed to pay the $115,000 for removal would be a win-win situation for everyone. We could not transfer it into a group, even if they were nonprofit, would need to be an interagency agreement. Because it's a hazard on the beach and an unsafe tourist attraction, we want to move this issue as soon as we can. People have stolen most everything off of it, including the keep off signs, as well as
that's incredible.
Manhole covers on the deck. No matter how much security we put down there, people swim out to it at the dark where they could be seriously hurt on the dock. We also have to make a decision quickly due to the high tides coming up in a week or so, due to the preparation that would need to be done to, if we go either way. The Fish and Wildlife Department would be the department with the final say on whether they would allow the dock to go into the Yukon Bay.
Well, I know from the Seattle Times article they couldn't resist bringing up the dynamited whale and
I just
think the idea of having the Marine Science Center is good because you could get it out of the way, people won't be screwing with it, you could have a walking dock next to it where people could walk and see it, not get on it, and then have little placards, educational stuff, say the tsunami happened in Japan, one would be a memorial, an educational thing, and then they would increase.
But it sounds like the city would have to make some kind of agreement with Hatfield. And
I think the port.
Well, the port's not a... It sounded like it had to be an interagency.
County.
Well, the port is
the
city.
Oh, the port would work. Okay,
yeah, so the port and county.
Well, how are they going to get this grant?
The city. And then you got to come up with a $36,000 minimum.
Well, if you use it as a tourism... it was suggested to us that if it's really tourism based, that why can't you use the tourism facilities funding that's left over, the $250,000?
No, don't do it.
I'm just saying that's what suggests. You would believe some of the crap that's flying across my desk and on my phone and in my voicemail right now.
It's just a big pile of styrofoam, isn't it, really?
It's really not that big when you go look at it.
It's concrete.
There's a lot of styrofoam in it, but there's concrete.
Then they have little ballasts inside that are about concrete things that are about like yay. And if you want, you can look at my front yard, you might see a couple of them. I don't know how they got there, though.
Do you have any signs?
Yeah, you put it on top of them in his front yard.
My daughter's home for the summer looking at Beverly Beach, and she's like, she comes home and she just has this look on her face and says, I need to be fed and I want to go to bed, because she's dealing, they're putting them out there and she's dealing with people all day. And she goes, thousands and thousands of idiots out walking around. She goes, I think they're from Iowa.
Rick and I wait on them at the counter every day.
When we were out there, there was college age, and they were on top and they were going down in and grabbing these things and throwing them out to people. People were saying, hey, give me one.
That's wild. I better go down there again.
It's just a punk of cement.
Here's the thing, is that it's the first and the biggest thing to wash up, and we still have a whole
lot of blue magpie. The blue magpie
had made international news. My cousins called me about it from England. Is that where you live?
We went to blue magpie.
Oh yeah.
I remember Rivers calling me up and said, "Oh, their cruise ship just hit. We got some guys. We have to house them somewhere now. Can you do it?" I go, "A cruise ship."
A friend of mine saw the AEG and the announcer said, oh, it was at AE Beach. That was kind of cool. Yeah. But I think it's a great opportunity if we can get people interested.
We'll see what happens with that.
The money, of course.
The money is the thing and the urgency to get it, to make it safe.
So I think what we should have done is taken a picture of that, made that the wall screen. It just said visit Newport. It had that dock on there. They said, let's get down there.
Have you guys had increased traffic since this thing hit?
We've had a lot of people in the restaurant. I think it's a lot of day trip people.
We think they're day trip
because we've had a ton of people through the restaurant asking where it is. They come to have lunch and they go check it out and they've asked.
I think what we need to do is we need to get a billboard and we need to say 1917 of showing the whale blowing up and then now the dock with the question mark.
We've had it, some hoteliers have called it, said that they have had experienced a surge.
We've had them. We had more dock people than Celtic Festival people on the Celtic Festival weekend.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's when I went. I went on Saturday, and there was people. It was not safe. I'm pretty sure that they shouldn't have been walking on the beach. I mean, there's people with like cane crutches and wheelchairs. I was like, oh my god! Like,
well, it was fun. When we first heard about it. My wife and I drove up to see it, and somebody said it was on the beach, and I didn't know where, so I drove up and I drove up Moonlight Beach, and I'm looking, and it's not there, and this car pulls up from people from Portland, so I just walked over and said, you know what I think is? Oh yeah, it's down there. You go down Aga Beach, Wayside, and blah blah blah. So.
Interesting.
Okay, we have one more new media consideration.
Okay, there's a Portland portrait.
You guys do our follow-up, too.
And she will not leave me alone.
They have an immediate opportunity.
They're always immediate.
It's an extra.
They're always immediate.
He can sales person.
And they're doing an ad on crabbing. Not an ad, they're doing an article on crabbing and Newport and all of that kind of good stuff. And so she wanted to know if we wanted to. It's a beautiful publication, but we're kind of out of money. And she said, I'll bill you after the first of the fiscal year. And I want to jump to something and make a suggestion about media proposals. Because of the volume of them that come over my desk and what have you, I think something that might be easier for this committee and certainly would make life easier at the chamber is that we have a process in place that if media wants to have us consider something, that they have to submit it either electronically or via the mail. We consider it in the next upcoming meeting. If we choose to hear more about it or we want to be able to act on it that day, you know, they need to be available for us to call, or we can ask them to do a presentation at the next meeting. We're getting a lot of these. Oh, you've only got, 2 weeks and it's our deadline. Therefore, planning is not our emergency.
No, it's everyone's at crunch to sell. That's just a sales thing.
60 days in advance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so if we could please make that a process.
Do you have a policy at the chamber you can send in? Like we can bring it back at the next meeting.
I can send a paragraph.
I'll draft
something up.
Because if we get it in writing and then we get the committee to approve it, then it could be part of the.
Yeah. I like the 60 days.
Yeah, just a 60 day prior, and that's our planning cycle. Is that we need something 60 days. We don't want you to come to us with an immediate opportunity and a deadline because we meet once a month, and we don't want to start getting into where we're having to do a lot of stuff by email. Because that's not good either.
And we want it ahead of time so we can look at it.
Right.
Decide what to do.
Yeah.
So that, what are we going to do with the pork?
Again, that's one of those.
So I met with her, and basically, there's two covers to the same magazine.
Yeah.
One of them just says portrait, and this gets distributed up in Seattle.
Okay.
And then there's another one that says portrait of Portland.
Okay.
Which, exact same content, exact same magazine, just a different cover.
Yeah.
And that one, it goes, I think she has it listed. I mean, all the places that it goes.
The luxury hotels and dog.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, it definitely targets high-end income people.
Yeah.
It is one of the nicest publications I've seen. It's very, very nice publication.
I don't disagree with that.
Not huge distribution.
But niche
kind of
market.
Niched towards the,
affluent.
The rich to the
people,
super rich, basically.
They want it. It is a demand publication.
Well, it says right here, corporate executives, affluent homeowners.
I mean, I would think,
is that our market?
Trade, yeah. Luxury hotels.
It's not.
And real estate owners.
Yeah.
Real estate companies.
architects, builders,
maybe,
and remodeling projects.
Did she interview you at all, or is she going to for the crabbing article? So you'll get our 800 number or whatever in there anyway, right?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it would probably be worth putting an ad in if otherwise...
If we get some
our website and stuff wasn't going to get mentioned, but if our website and stuff's going to get mentioned in the article anyway...
I don't know. She didn't promise that. She just said she wanted information about crabbing, so...
They probably won't promise it.
We'll tell her that we'll leave her in consideration for next year if our website and phone number wind up in there this year.
That'll give us some idea what kind of...
And we get, then we get 5,000.
I'm sure that would be... It would be natural for her to put that for more information, contact...
It would make sense for her to have the article in this upcoming publication, and then we run a subsequent ad in the following publication, and it gives us more impact.
Or we just see what kind of feedback we get just from the article and the phone numbers to see if it's worth doing something.
Okay, we can do that.
So you want to bring it back for consideration?
I'll tell her that we're going to see how the article does, and we'll include the website and the phone number, and then we'll take another look at this during our strategic planning for the next... For the next round that they do.
She can't beat that.
So.
I was surprised that you don't know how to get this, John.
I don't. Yeah.
It's a pretty snazzy magazine.
Okay. Well, I guess, unless we could, does anybody else have any other?
Let's talk about the landscape.
Well, this is the last thing. This was the media follow-up stuff.
Oh, that's just where they're posted.
It's just where they're posted, and it's just the stuff that we sent. I just wanted to make sure you guys got it.
Okay.
The mesh. Let's talk about the mesh.
Okay, it's in production, and so it should be up. It's the boats and kind of shiny. And I have to say that the disconnect was pretty disappointing. It was like Lee had said, it has to be bold, and it has to be a... single thing, and then when he sent her the art, she's like, well, this is bold, but it's not going to have any contrast. And it's like, okay, you can't have it both ways. Tell us exactly.
No, I agree.
And for the production charge that they're charging us, I think they should be taking an image and making it, you know.
For $4,000.
For $4,000.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to consider that in the future when we're working with billboard companies, that part of that production is going to be you design it, because you know what you need. And you
right, because we'll be sending pictures for a month.
That's right.
How about that one? How about this one? No, that won't work.
I'm not doing any production on it. You do the production, and you tell us what will work, and I think we'll be good.
I like that.
And for today, I'm getting a thumb drive that's going to have, well, I'll probably get several thumb drives because they're big files, of 100 images that we've purchased from the News Times to have them.
And they're like, they're ours.
They're ours. Well, they're Chambers, but they're ours.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. The News Times isn't going to claim rights to it or something.
There's no rights to them. They're all really large files. They'll lend themselves to website up to billboards this big. So we'll have some.
Have you previewed them at all? Like, any snazzy ones in there?
We'll be able to look them. But yesterday I was going through our files at the Chamber, because I'm doing a year-end slideshow, and I went into this one obscure file that said Santa Visits Newport. And I thought, oh, what's in here? And I clicked, and there's all these high-res photos. It was of Santa's visit, but that was like a crystal clear December day. And he's on a Coast Guard cutter. And then I've got like the Coast Guard looking into the bay, and there's boats and all these crab pots. I'm like,
can we use that for something?
Yes, there are. Mike took
them. The December ad.
Wow. They're just beautiful. They're like, I wish we would have seen them before, so I put them in a special file. So, okay, good to have those. Good to know. We did get the Dean Runyon report, and once I get it finalized, I can send it to everyone, which is a travel impacts for 2011. And what it does show in here is that travel spending in Newport was $124.2 million for 2011, I think. No, that's the Central Coast.
How much was it?
No, never mind. Ixnay on that name. Travel spending, total direct spending in Newport for 2011.
Does Derek Tokos have this for our Goal 9 thing? Do you know?
I'm not sure if he does.
Does he have it in for that committee we're on?
He will, because I just got this. Okay. I gave him an email with this. $123.4 million, 2011, and that's visitor spending. And in 2010, comparatively, it was $120.6 million, so we're up not quite, about $2.8 million. Average length of stay, 1.9 nights. Party size average is 2.4 people. The average spending per trip for a travel party is $614. So per day, it makes out to $325 per day per party. And if it's an individual person, it's $133 per day.
How much was it for the group
trip? $614 for the trip, for a party size of 2.4, staying an average of 1.9 nights.
Should show that to Nicole for her notes.
I'll send it to
her. Oh, no, that's okay. I was just getting those couple highlights. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah, so.
Some of these, look at some of these billboards.
I had actually.
Some of them are pretty bad as far as.
They're really bad. Yeah. And location.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I had talked to Lorna a little bit about possibly having, you know, for next year if we decide to do this again, mm-hmm. having Jeremy redo the Visit Newport, because what I noticed on a bright day.
The white
is that it's, I mean, it ends up looking kind of like it does in these pictures.
I agree.
It's hard to see. I just, you can get right on it before you see it, which I hadn't noticed before because I just hadn't been over there on a bright day, I guess. But I happened to be over there on a really nice sunny day, and it was really hard to see the Visit Newport.
There's a couple
on literally were right on
99 it. From like Monmouth to Corvallis are they're bad locations.
Yeah, the trees are scary.
And they're like tilted wrong. They're higher all the side of the highway. Like, geez, you can't hardly even see. I mean, if it was just me out there with my little notebook, I'd say, no, I don't want that one. You know, I just wouldn't pick it.
Yeah. I got the best response from Eugene. And we did those.
Yeah. The Eugene market seems to really have picked up because people do see them and they're everywhere. But we've had a couple of calls from them. If you're paying for that, you know there's a tree in front of it. And I've passed all those comments along to me.
And I think that would say, too, because the Eugene ones, what I've seen, they tend to be closer, I think, to where you're driving.
Mm-hmm. I think you're
so
right.
I probably didn't notice the fade out with those either because they're so much closer.
Yeah, there's a lot
versus more being up higher and further off.
Yeah. So, well, if we kind of learned a lot about billboards, I don't think that they've been a wash or anything like that. I think they've given us a good return, but I think we know a few more things this year than we knew last year. We know we don't want that to fade out. We know we want to use something bold. And, we might want to use something different than Dungeness Crab or the bridge. I'm sorry, I love the bridge. It's a good icon, but we've got to start doing something that speaks to the market and not to what we like.
I agree.
But to what the market
as
is.
As far as room tax goes, about 60%.
How much commission do you want off that idea?
65% of room tax comes from the ocean.
Yes.
The hotels. Mm-hmm. And about 33% from the bay. Mm-hmm. So the ocean is where the market is.
Well, Travel Oregon and some of the other entities recognize that we're a beach town. I mean, we're selling ourselves as a fishing community, and that's great because we have authenticity. But the biggest tourism attraction in all of Oregon, and that's not just like, I mean, it says including the Portland area and everything, the biggest tourist attraction is the Oregon coast and the beach.
Right.
And so we've got to get savvy about pushing what we have in our backyard.
And we have some beautiful beaches.
I went to one of those. Remember that? This is a number of years ago. And it was here at City Hall. Tell me those other agencies like HMH. Okay, so they did that. They did that focus group. Mm-hmm. It was Clackamas Town Center. They're eating.
Oh yeah.
They're eating crab and champagne or something. And I was stunned. They took those people in Portland, and they talked about things in Newburgh, and they said, is there a beach there? And they didn't know.
Because we're not active.
I mean, we're watching it. I go, well, have you been to the Oregon coast yet? Is there a beach? And they talk, is there a beach in Newport? And they go, some of them didn't know.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, we do have to, we've got some great, images, and it could be a beach anywhere, but you can set it apart with other messages, like you can have the beach.
That's a tricky part.
That's a tricky part.
It's making it not look generic, like it could be anywhere.
And if you have a great sunset or something
Japanese
like that.
Japanese dock in the middle of the beach.
That's what I'm saying, the whale and the dock. I mean, that's where it's at right now.
I don't want to bore you guys with all the other stuff, but the other thing I was there was real shocking to me was, what keeps you on a Friday night? And just jumping in your car and, staying up spending a night in the Oregon coast, they go, the dog.
Yeah.
I go, what? In other words, can they take it with them? Do they have to get a kennel? The dog stops them. Like, the dog.
The dogs love to run on the beach.
I know, but I mean, they.
So we can have a beach
scene. I'm talking about the planner mom. Like, hey, are we taking this to the kennel?
That would be some good website
marketing to do. That would be some good website marketing to have, like, pets down on the beach.
And, well, and just some,
pet with a dog in the background.
Mm-hmm. We're pet.
And then just as a general thing, Comcast, when they're here, they keep telling us, and I believe this, that the greatest concentration of people come from the Tri-County area, Clackamas, Washington, Multnomah counties. We're like, we got to figure out a way to not ignore that fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, that same marketing study, though, that was done a few years ago, they go to Lincoln City and Cannon mm-hmm. Beach and Seaside, and Newport is an afterthought.
But, I mean, the Comcast lady, she had statistics for Newport, she said.
Yeah.
You think she lied?
Well, no, I just think
remember that the two guys are the same
statistics are convenient to what they're selling and who they're
yeah,
selling.
Yeah, they can be made.
And, it's, and I don't know that they're making it up. I think that people watch it, but that doesn't mean they act on it.
Did they actually come here?
No, I thought she said Newport Visitors. We're going to find that thing again. I want.
How does she know that? Does she
I don't
talk
know.
To him? She,
well, did they survey people? We should have challenged them on it.
I'd like to know that.
And how do we do it?
yeah. Well, let's set a meeting. Let's set a meeting date for the strategic planning meeting. Did we want to do
that? No presentations from outside people that day.
No, it'll just be for planning. It won't be like a regular mm-hmm. meeting.
Okay.
Can you look at your calendar so I know what the date is?
I am.
Okay.
And you should check with Cal and Carrie if they can make it too, because everyone could be here. We're talking about July.
Lorna, were you thinking the end of this month, or were you thinking...
Probably the first week or second week of July. Don't you guys
think? The second week of July would be better.
Fourth, isn't it?
Well, the first week
first
is
week's the
fourth. The first partial week is the fourth.
It's the fourth, okay. You guys want to be up for the second week? Do you want to make our next regular scheduled meeting?
We can do that, the 12th.
Yeah, we'll make the 12th our strategic planning. You want to start a little earlier, or is 2 o'clock good and go until 4:30?
About 1:30.
1:30?
Mm-hmm. And then go into a regularly scheduled meeting after. Is that what you want to do?
I think in lieu of a regularly scheduled meeting.
We shouldn't have anything else. That we
well, I mean, it'll be like a public meeting. So we will post it, just say it's...
It's a strategic planning, and it's not...
No presentation.
Public comment on the agenda.
Do you want to bring that policy back, though, at that meeting?
I'll email it to you today or tomorrow.
But approve it at that,
yes.
Or put it for consideration at that meeting?
That's a good idea.
Yes. It just would be really helpful.
So at that meeting, though, you want me to bring back the proposals that we put off today?
Yeah, I think that would be good, just in a pile. We're going to have more.
Okay.
Or put them to the end, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's not
We've
act
already
like,
seen them.
Yeah, let's just kind of get what our strategy is.
Well,
then
yeah.
If we have time at the end.
What market are we going to go into? Right. What medium do we want to use? And then, then take a look at specific proposals.
Okay.
Okay, I guess we can just adjourn.
Yeah. Good. And then